home from Bidwell Park, and there's a gentleman that has a little box that he puts poems in. And we had, at the time, at the park, we were talking about all these devastations of the world, and, you know, with the paradox of, you know, the beauty that we are able to experience. And it was so perfect because he had this poem there called The Peace of the Wild Things, and I'm going to read it now. It's The Peace of the Wild Things by Wendell Berry. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests, in his beauty on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into peace of the wild things, who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. And so, for me, that really brings that back to, like, going back to that mystery, going back to not this worrying mentality of the mind to take us in a, you know, what's going to happen, you know, what has happened. You know, there's a lot of devastation we could think about and things that we need to correct. But the reality is, this is the world that we are currently residing in the information age, and we can each do our part to contribute to making it something more than what it is. And before we continue this conversation, I'm going to do some radio stuff. We're going to get listening to some Mr. Jim Hightower.
Do America's establishment media outlets exist to inform the general public about what's going on, or to hide the goings-on that the establishment doesn't like? Years ago, many establishment newspapers effectively disappeared progressive groups by refusing to report on their meetings and actions, hoping to keep the general public from hearing anti-establishment messages or knowing about progressive alternatives. For example, the dominant paper in Dallas so totally excluded progressives that activists gave the Daily a new slogan, the Dallas Morning News, if it happens in Dallas, it's news to us. That same slogan could fit most of our national media sources today. For example, you probably didn't hear about a momentous political gathering of grassroots progressives that recently took place in Washington, D.C. Called Populism 2015, it was coordinated by National People's Action, a fast-growing coalition of workers, environmentalists, low-income people, farmers, clergy, and others. More than 1,000 experienced activists of every race, age, gender, and region attended. This was not just another conference of yakety-yackers, but the construction crew of a new bottom-up politics that's building a genuine grassroots movement around a bold populist agenda. So where were America's news sources? National reporters and pundits who give in-depth coverage to silly straw polls and other fabricated political news shunned this real news. The fact that such a movement is organizing would give hope to many disenchanted voters and non-voters. Yet the mass media utterly failed its basic duty, inform the public about what's happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, while this grassroots reality is news to the media establishment, you can learn about Populism 2015 at www.peopleandplanetfirst.org. peopleandplanetfirst.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're listening to Love in the 21st Century, and we are talking about love and nature, our connection to the natural world that we are a part of. And I'm joined by Miss Jada White, a local ecologist, Miss Sierra Ona of Embody Alchemy, and Miss Katrina
DeJeberoff,
thank you so much. Student of Weaving Earth. So we've been talking about, you know, a vast concept here about what nature is, how we can bring in connection to it, the things we can learn from it. And we're going to be segueing into talking about, you know, what each of these ladies are representing here today and what their own personal practices are, hopefully leaving you all listeners with some inspiration and some personal practices to look into. If you're listening and want to join the conversation, feel free to give us a call, 895-1114. Let us know what your practices are, because everybody out there, you know, more than likely has something that helps to ground them into making it through the day. So like we've been talking about, it doesn't necessarily have to involve, you know, driving out to some secluded location where there's no people in sight. It could be simply grounding in your office, in your bedroom, connecting to your breath. But we want to hear from all of you as well. I guess we will start with you, Ms. Sierra, if you don't mind, about what embodied alchemy, what it is. You know, you were talking a little bit about it before. I kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about how you help connect people to the five elements. And, yeah, and then we'll go into the practices here soon.
So, yeah, I'm a certified massage therapist, and I work in a style called Chui Na, which is a Chinese medical style of massage based out of the Taoist philosophy and principles, and going back into Chinese medicine, into the real connection to nature and to how the elements are moving through us and have created all that is the physical system, but not only the physical system, but the psychological, emotional, and spiritual realms that we travel in as humans. And so in my work with private clients and working to find that balance, to help them find that balance, really facilitating the recognition, the remembering that we have the ability to heal ourselves, to listen to our nature and understand when we're out of balance, and in a modality of body work, of physical touch and opening up the body to a balanced flow of qi, of vital energy, is how I work. But it's a style that comes out of qigong, which is ultimately an energy work practice, a movement practice. And there's lots of simple exercises that I use with my clients also for them to take home and practice when they get up from sitting and studying, or sitting in front of the computer at work, or what do they do before they go to bed? How do they like kind of remember their body so that they can rest well, or depending on what sort of physical issues or even emotional issues they're dealing with that are bringing them to a place where they're seeking some assistance to be well in their lives. And so, and that is extended into a practice of many different forms. I host sweat lodges here in the traditional Lakota style, and bring a woman who's practicing in pouring lodges to bring those elements in and to give people a chance to come in and practice being in that simplicity with the earth. And that is an extension through the Alliance of Living Alchemy to help people work with transformation, because we're not just one thing. We're not just the person who sits in front of the computer. We're also the person that goes home and cooks dinner, and we're the person that has children. And how do we be in the alchemy of modern human life? So it's a kind of ever-growing, evolving practice, and the study of Chinese medicine is a lifelong practice. So I learn a lot from my clients, too.
Absolutely.
Always.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. I've been fortunate to have Sierra Ona massage me, and I highly recommend her. She'll give you a whole nother way, and you'll be moving, she'll be moving you, and you'll get off the table feeling amazing relative to how you felt when you laid down. So, just a little plug for you. So I can only express my own personal practices and my own personal community process, but I think it's really important for us to recognize that we're all very diverse, and that diversity is what makes life so amazing and also gives our community resilience. And so for me, my own personal practice and creating balance in my life requires really good sleep and healthy, organic, local food, and exercise and breathing and connection to community, and feeling like I'm spending my time in a way that is healthy for me and going to create a positive legacy. And some of the ways I've done that, I've been fortunate to work with the ecological reserves, which are an amazing asset to our community. If you haven't been up to Big Chico Creek Ecological Reserve or Butte Creek Ecological Preserve, I highly suggest that you go up there. And I was fortunate to work with Kids in Creeks and all of the experiential education folks. And that is just an incredible connection to oneself, to our community, and to nature. And then I connect regularly by being involved in restoration projects, and either voluntarily or by creating them and doing cleanup projects and just keeping everybody, giving everybody lots of opportunities to be involved if they wish to. And a few years ago, we developed the Feather River salmon spawning tours, because salmon are particularly near and dear to my heart. They were the first thing that I was fortunate to study. And my friends teased me that I was like the salmon and went to the ocean for a while, and now I came back to do my thing. And so, the salmon spawning rafting tours are something we'd like to get going on the Feather River this fall. And I think that would be a great opportunity to showcase our amazing river and the assets of the Sacramento River Valley.
Awesome. I love thinking of you as a salmon. So appropriate. Where to begin? I am in practicing cultural mentoring, and I'm in a lineage of that involves the Weaving Earth Center for Relational Education, and that is a daughter school out of the Eight Shields Institute, the work of John Young and many indigenous elders across three different continents, that it's a very dynamic, overlapping, circuitous path, and there's definitely not the time to share those stories or those lineages. So I would just like to name those, and may I speak from this lineage well. And so relational education at Weaving Earth, wow, so many of us are asking, like, what is Weaving Earth? What is this thing that we're doing? And it's about village-based cultural mentoring. John Young talks about if there's connection, there's culture. And if there is not connection, then we're talking about society. And what we have in Western society is it's a consumer society. And so some of the, if I can say this in the most simple, basic way possible, Weaving Earth is, it's a journey of, and everybody's journey is going to be different, and I feel that it, for me and what I observe, it has a lot to do with culture repair and healing and community building and practices in peacemaking. And a lot of these things are rooted in place-based peoples, the Odawa people and the Haudenosaunee and the Lakota and the Sands Bushmen and the Kalahari and many others. And going back to what we were talking about disconnection and these feelings of grief, and one of our Aleutian elders, if I can say his name right, Ilarion McCurliffe, his people speak of there was a time before white people came, and before this story of colonialism came in, and they turned the world backwards and inside out. And the time of real human beings, we lived from a place where our hearts led and our minds then followed. And now we live in a time where we listen to the mind, and then we get in this argument of, like, what is it that we're feeling, or what is it that our heart wants? So at Weaving Earth, I'm on this journey of how to be a mentor and to do this work inside of me and to do these connective practices on the land and to integrate these teachings that involve some definite Emerson wilderness philosophies and pan-cultural ceremonies. And for I'm sure the audience out there is pretty diverse. So for the more like teachers out there who are into like pedagogy, relational education is not a pedagogy. The conceptual framework of relational education offers avenues that can influence the contemporary revival of regenerative nature-based culture, where health is measured through a lens of interrelationship and is rooted in a sensible developmental map that is complete in its contextual and sensual reference. So, like, basically that what that means is, like, we're living with the rhythms and patterns and systems in nature, and we're being informed by what's happening in nature. And looking at things from having many eyes, minds, and hearts on one thing, and it takes the village. And what Sierra was saying earlier about, you know, you go on a walk outside and the rocks are talking to you, or there's some message that came from the cedar tree, or some, like, spark of information. Like, that's, nature is mirroring us, and as well as, we can't do this alone. We don't live in isolation. The time of the lone wolf is over. The return of the wolf pack is here, and we evolved in community, and in relationships, mutualistic relationships where we're interdependent. And so therefore we go on this internal journey, and that is also the external journey with people, and we need one another so we can learn about ourselves. And so we're mirrors, and, you know, when we can begin to have some light shed on our blind spots, those things that maybe we're not ready to look at and are difficult to see, and we just kind of, like, lean into that, and, like, that's really the work. And so to go through that work and to become a mature woman, or, you know, a mature man, or somebody who comes in and they become an adolescent, or they step through the adolescent and into adulthood, that is so huge. So how can we turn mature adulthood into this, like, sexy nature connection thing? I just look at people who are leading the country, and looking at the leadership that I see in businesses and the articles I see in the paper, or congressmen, and what I observe is adolescent behavior amongst people who I cannot call my elders. And so the country is being run by people who are not mature adults. And so Weaving Earth and this journey of mentoring is becoming that person to be able to be a guide, to provide that sensible developmental map to guide people to find their genius and to become fully alive.
How beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm down with some mature adults running our country.
Dang.
Well put.
Sounds good.
Yeah. We're so fortunate in Chico because we do have so many amazing community mm-hmm. leaders. And I always think about Sierra Nevada and mm-hmm. how they've been able to really think ahead, and they've been a model for so many other businesses. And
I think,
and that's Chico. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, exactly. And if people want to get involved, you know, feel free to pay attention to the City of Chico Parks and Recreation. There's tons of ways that you can go out and give your community a hand, and also help your own nature connection. The Lassen chapter of the Native Plant Society is always hosting restoration events. And then, of course, Butte Environmental Council always has ways for you to get involved. And so, yeah, don't think you're supposed to do this by yourself, because you're not. It's about being together and finding connection within yourself to nature, but also, like Katrina said, reflecting for one another and refining one another. That was something that was difficult at first to get used to in graduate school, but now I realize when somebody gives you feedback or criticism, they do so because they love you, and they want to refine you, and they want to polish you like a fine polish. And so just realize that, you know, we're all refining one another, and we're learning how to do that in a loving and generous way. And I'm so proud of Chico.
No. I just keep thinking of something a friend reminded me of recently. I used to have a bumper sticker on my car that said, "There's more to balance than not falling over." And so I think that in our lives to really reflect and see, like, are we just trying to prevent something or kind of put out fires all the time? Or are we really finding balance for ourselves, whether that's recognizing that we're sitting a lot and we need to go out and move our body, or recognizing that we've been drinking a lot of caffeine and we're not drinking any water, or all these little ways that we can still be in the go, go, go and the do that is part of this fast-moving modern world. And how do we seek balance, and not just so that we don't get sick and become really out of balance, but how do we really be in balance? And little simple ways of just, like, remembering to take your shoes off every once in a while and just stand in your grass. I mean, even if it's just in your front yard or backyard, like, simple, like, the earth is right here. And we don't have to, like, go for a hike necessarily. If that's as much as you can do, like, just do that. Like, just remember to take a breath, a deep breath in the morning and be like, wow, the sun is up and I'm alive. Like, these little simple simplicities, I think, are also how we balance the complexity of all the information we're bringing in. And one of the things in terms of what I feel from us in this conversation is really, yeah, remembering that we're not alone. And so what are the things that you can do to connect with other people who are remembering and who are seeking connection, whether it's going and being in a yoga class with other people, or going and volunteering in some of these organizations that Jada is talking about, or coming out to a sweat lodge. Like, we offer these group prayers and these ways to remember what it's like to just be with the elements of the fire and the water and the air, and to just be in gratitude, because we need to be reminded that we're together in it. And I think that that's a really important piece that you bring up, Katrina. Because we've been in an age of kind of individualism and dissecting ourselves apart. So find a way to connect with something, anything that feels real to you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us. And I want to make sure that there's ways for listeners that are interested in learning more about Embody Alchemy to get a hold of you. So is there a website, Sierra?
Yeah, embodyalchemy.com. And then I'm also on there, the Alliance of Living Alchemy. That's where you would connect with the sweat lodges.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And Katrina, the Weaving Earth also has a website.
Yeah, Weaving Earth has a website. It's just weavingearth.com. We also recently created a Facebook page called Chico Nature Connection. And from bringing Will Scott here to town and Dave and Lauren Haig, that some of these connective practices, which I know I didn't speak to, but maybe there's some folks out there who are familiar with some of this work, like your sit spot or your bird language or story of the day kind of thing. The Chico Nature Connection Facebook page is a place to find out what's going on. It's a place to post, like, hey, let's get out there and do something in the community context, like let's go do a bird sit or a sit spot and come back and share a story and connect with what's happening in our life and just kind of drop in. So that's available. I guess I'll just put a plug in for the Butte College Sustainability Resource Center. I also work there and am doing that work there as well. And that's another great place to find information. And more will be coming. And lastly, just to get it in there, Chico State University is having a conference in October on mentoring. And so there's going to be three different tiers. One's going to be a professional mentoring, another's going to be student peer mentoring, and another's going to be the community mentoring. And so folks from Weaving Earth will be here at that conference to speak to that. So if you're feeling good and feeling fired up and this feels like the right thing to do, put it on your calendar in October. We'll keep you posted.
Fantastic. Jada, was there something that you wanted to close with?
I was just going to say, as a wildlife ecologist and previous marine ecologist, I didn't have as much of a connection to farming until recently, when I was fortunate to do a work trade out at Heartseed Farm and learn an incredible amount, and also go to the Gratitude Garden Project with Tammy up in Concow. Mm-hmm. And I've been planting my own little seeds at my house, and it's so exciting. And a tricotyledon zucchini came up, and I'm pretty excited about that. And it's just, yeah, just like plant some seeds. You'll be amazed at how exciting it is.
It is revolutionary. Thank you, amazing, powerful ladies, for joining me today. It's been a pleasure, and I think that the biggest message that I have learned personally from being in nature, turning everything off and literally going out in nature for 3 or 4 days and not turning anything on, is to stay calm. Stay calm and stay strong, because, you know, nature always goes back to where it began. Watching the Lake Concow, I was able to go out to the Buckeye Gathering, which was a primitive skills gathering that just happened last week. Is, you know, we would watch the wind come by so powerfully and move the lake, and it would go back to that calm again. And so it's a good reminder, it's a good lesson for myself to remain calm under all circumstances to the best of my ability. So thank you so much for tuning into this this episode of Love in the 21st Century, talking about love and nature. I'm going to close here with a song from one of the Weaving Earth counselors, I believe it is. His name is Samuel Gray Edmondson. I was able to hear this song performed live at the Buckeye Gathering. It's called Rivers and Roads. And I also want to give a shout out. We've been talking about alchemy and bringing the alchemy into alignment. And, you know, the technological world is a part of that, and the artistic world, and just all the alchemy that happens within us. We've been having a lot of alchemy-themed things going on in this world. There's a still alchemy art show at the Winchester Goose. Johnny Dutro is having a show, and it's opening the 9th, which is Saturday, 6:30 to 10:30. If you're around, check out some artistic renditions of the still alchemy that we're living in. Thanks again, ladies, for joining us, and stay tuned for Ecotopia. Talk some more about this beautiful world that we're living in.
Shake your mind. Now that you've sought her, when you're lost, she will find the open road to what's inside. Like rivers, a road will bend before it slows. Across the divide, a stranger resides. A star in her eyes, she sings to the sky. Give pause and linger at her feet. The dark and cold may scare you blind, but then with sureness you will rise, and you will find that glowing stones are sown through time. A snake as it grows will shed its skin to expose layer inside, no longer to hide. With no need to try, the shape is implied. Dig down and sing before you sleep. Thank you.
This is FM 90.1, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Ecotopia, now also being broadcast over KCMJ, community-powered radio in Colorado Springs. Tonight's topic on Ecotopia is afterburn, living in a post-carbon age.
A parking lot with a pink